Now, will you notice, verse 1, chapter 8, it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon him. He was just sitting among the elders. It's a pretty doleful crowd there. Now, here again, this man is caught up. Now, will you notice? Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness like the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. Now, you see, it's part of that vision in the first chapter. Now, we said, when we were looking at that, a tremendous vision of the glory of God, that it's the basis of every vision that you have in this book. And personally, I think it's the basis of the book of Revelation. Now, will you note here? He put forth the form of a hand, and he took me by a lock of mine head. Now, you remember that this man shaved himself. He shaved his face and his head, but that was about a year before this, you see. And now it's had a chance to grow out. And God took him by the hair of his head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat and the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Now we're told here that he put forth the form of a hand. You see here, God is a spirit, and he doesn't have a hand like I've got. But when you tell me that the finger work of God is the heavens up there, I understand that, because I don't see how he made it without a hand. And here, that's given to us in this vision. Verse 3, and he put forth the form of a hand. He took me by the lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven. Now, I believe that he was actually caught up and removed by the Spirit of God to Jerusalem. Now, whether his body went along with him, I'm not going to argue that point. I rather think it did. And that he went there to see why the glory was withdrawing from Jerusalem and why God was going to destroy the city. And what you have here is that withdrawal. And as he's taken to Jerusalem, it's not something new. You'll remember Elijah had that experience. You will recall he was caught up. And in 1 Kings 18:12, we read, shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And then we are told that the sons of the prophets said to Elisha after Elijah departed, the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or some valley. And then in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Acts 8:39, we read the Spirit of the Lord also caught away Philip. So this is not something that's unique in the Scripture at all. I think that Philip was removed bodily. I think that is exactly what happened to Elijah. And I think that that's what happened to this man here. And he is taken now to Jerusalem. And we are told here that he was taken and brought in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Now, this image of jealousy is a very interesting statement. What do you mean by image of jealousy? Well, it's translated way back in Deuteronomy as a graven image. And the idol that Manasseh that we've referred to, that he put in the temple, which was an abomination, and it was a blasphemy. You remember God judged that man for that. That was called an image of jealousy. And I think that is what you have here. That old idol that had been probably pushed in a corner or swept under the rug or stuck under the bed is now pulled out. and in Jerusalem, those that were left there that should have turned to God in repentance, they now are worshiping that idol. Now, somebody that's been a careful student of going through the Bible is going to say to me, now, didn't you make the statement back in the historical books that you thought the glory departed during the reign of Manasseh, and now the glory is just now leaving over there, the temple? May I say to you, friends, that I still believe it left during the reign of Manasseh. And I think this is the vision that is being given to this man. And you'll notice you do not have the complete vision of the departure of the glory. Here we see it, and then you'll notice because of the fact that the people of God did not turn back to God, why he lifted up from the temple and then out over the city to the east and waited there. And we'll see again as we go along. And then it will not be until we get actually pretty far along before we see the final departure of the glory. And that will be as far over as chapter 10. In other words, the glory, the visible presence of God was there. And I think that the departure actually took place. I don't think they had any evidence after the reign of Manasseh. But it's given to this man Ezekiel to see that God is merciful. And God was ready, loath to leave. And that he was ready to save those people if they would have turned to him. God is merciful. And God is love, friends. But he's also a righteous God, a just God. And God can't permit evil in his universe. He can't permit that which is contrary to him. And therefore today, God cannot save us by our righteousness or by perfection because you and I can't present it. And he can't save us by it because he can't accept anything less. Therefore, God had to provide a redemption for man. And that's the reason man must come that way. Otherwise, you and I have a nature, an old nature that's in rebellion against God. Now, God's not going to permit that in his universe. It would not be right any more than a policeman should harbor a criminal in his home. That is unheard of.